God,
God,
grant me the strength to accept the things that cannot change, the courage to change things that can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone here in the first 30 days of sobriety? Okay, welcome back. We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. Thank you. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present, please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry out that clear message to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple action. AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership, but we are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another, sharing their experience, strength, and hope out of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 11. Please welcome our panel this evening, Lynn and Ed. I'll read the first paragraph on page, I don't know yet, and then I'll continue going. So on page 85. And the panel will share for a few minutes on each of the readings, and I'll just go ahead and kick it off on you guys. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. First reading on page 85. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we use it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God for forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Go ahead. I'll let you guys duke it out.
I'm sure you want me to go. I'll go. My name is Ed, alcoholic.
Hey, Ed.
My home group is Joys of Recovery. We meet on Thursday nights. I have a sponsor. And I guess I'll dive right in. So, step 11 is this sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. And it says improve our conscious contact. So it assumes that we've already made contact through the first nine steps. And that was my experience, and I'm going to go to the way back to when I first came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and how I was introduced to prayer. So I got a sponsor early on, because my first week of meetings was, I heard nothing but sponsorship. And so I asked the man to take me through the steps after a week of going to meetings. And we met, and he gave me a list of suggestions to do. And the first thing on the list was get on my knees in the morning and ask God to keep me sober for the day. And then there was some other stuff. And I'll call this meditation. He gave me a Just for Today card that we read every day, or supposed to read every day. I'm going to be honest here, but supposed to read and do this Just for Today card. And I brought a couple if anybody would like to take them with you. But anyway, and then at the end of the day, thank God for keeping me sober and anything else I may be thankful for. So that was my introduced introduction to prayer in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know a lot of people have talked about the before they got here about the foxhole prayers and stuff. I didn't even do that. I mean, I just didn't, because if I didn't think something was going to work, I wasn't going to do it. So even foxhole prayers were not part of my prayer before Alcoholics Anonymous. So when I got this list and I agreed to go to any length to stay sober, I started praying. And I remember the first night coming home from meeting with my sponsor, and I was embarrassed to pray. I'm married and my wife was in bed, and I said, well, I got to do this because I'm willing, you know. So I went in the bathroom and I shut the door, and I got on my knees, and for the first time I said a prayer. And I just said, God, thanks for keeping me sober. Thanks for Alcoholics Anonymous. And that was about it. And I got up and I took that action and I went to bed. And then the next morning I got up and I rolled out and I hit my knees and I said, God, I'm an alcoholic. Keep me sober today. And that was it. And that's how my prayer life started. And I'm going to tell you, there's some days that's all it is. And that's okay. Because, you know, I hear a lot of things in Alcoholics Anonymous here, meeting makers make it this, that, and the other. But there's things, you know, my sponsor told me, you know, he gave me all these things to do. And he goes, but that not drinking is really important, you know. and for me, so is the prayer. You know, for me, I haven't, you know, I pray at least twice a day. If I go to a meeting, four times a day, because we say the Serenity Prayer before we start. And we say the Lord's Prayer at the end, you know. So that's how I was introduced to prayer. And real quick, it talks about here. It gives you instructions. And basically, the second paragraph we read was 10th step. So it's the whole 10th step basically. And then at the end, it says, after making that review, we ask God forgiveness and inquire. And you know, I always pray before an event like this. I before I speak or anything. Anything coming out of this, but I need to pray on it if it's, you know. And so I did. And you know the answer I got this week on, you know, because I get nervous before I come speak. But the answer I got was, thank God Amy didn't ask you to share on step 10, because then you'd have to really get honest, you know, about how often you do inventory, right? So anyway, I'm grateful to be here, and I'm going to go ahead and pass it to Lynn.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thanks. Hey, everybody. I'm Lynn Peters. I'm an alcoholic. And I got sober in Hilton Head. And I had, as I was hitting my bottom, I kept, you know, downsizing what, you know, the amount of stress that I was going to have in my job. So I ended up being a cart chick, driving around on a golf course, selling beer and sandwiches. That was the end. That was my job that I could hold down at the end of my drinking. And so I'm driving around on the golf course, and it's very, very stressful. When I'm getting off work, I have to call in my drinks for happy hour. You know, I mean, it's a very, very stressful life. And I just kept thinking there's got to be a better way. And I was just slowly, slowly hitting my bottom. And so when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, because of the lifestyle that I led, because of the pressures that I had every day, my head was so loud. It was so incredibly loud. Like, we discussed everything. I had, you know, I've heard people talk about it as a committee or whatever. I just talk about things on this endless tape. I'll say something to somebody and I will re-review it like 25 times. It's on a reel. And then I go, well, if I said this, then it could have played out better, you know, and it's like that kind of thing. I got a loud head, and I do that with everything. That's what I brought to Alcoholics Anonymous. What I've learned about myself is that for myself today, since I've been sober for a while, is that it's a bit of a red flag for me when my head starts getting really loud again, because it has calmed down. So what'll happen, or so what has happened with me, is in the very beginning, I needed prayer right away. So it's not like, you know, oh, I'm going to try this out in a couple of weeks if I don't drink kind of thing. It was like, you know, no, I need help right now. I need help right now because I'm going to drink because my head's really loud. And the only way to shut it off is to drink. And so I consider that when my head's very loud like that, it's untreated alcoholism. The only way that I can treat alcoholism is to work these 12 steps. That's the only way. That's the only way that I have found for myself that works. And so I started out in the very beginning. I know we're talking about step 10 and 11, but I started out in the very beginning. I just asked the girl, and I didn't know she was going to be my sponsor at the time. I got 12 stepped into the program. I picked up the phone, called AA. They came over to my house. You know, I was a pretty desperate case. And turns out my sponsor, my very first sponsor that I had for my first year of sobriety, had lived directly across the street from me for a couple of years, and I'd never, ever met her. And I asked her, I said, well, just give me the bottom line. How do you guys not drink? And she just told me, she said, well, I get on my knees and I ask God for help in the morning. And then I'll get on my knees at night and I thank God. And I went, stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, that's what I said in the bubble over my head, but I didn't say it out loud. I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I did do that. And for, you know, after 5 days, I realized that I'd been sober for 5 days. I'd gone to a meeting every day. And so here it is. That's how I started out. So I know that this whole inventory taking thing, the step 10, the step 11, all merges together. But I couldn't wait to start doing prayer and meditation in order to get all that, you know, to get all that step work behind me. So in the very beginning, it was noticeable to, you know, my cart chick peers, you know, the other girls that are driving around the cart chick, they're all noticing, they're going, did you skip your meditation this morning? You know, like I've been sober for 2 weeks, and they were already noticing a transformation. So I began to have a spiritual experience, but I wasn't going to call it that. I was calling it, look, my luck is starting to change, you know, whatever. But so I wasn't attributing everything to God and being quite as thankful as I should be. But what I was doing is I was beginning to change. And, you know, that shift in thinking, you know, in the big book, it tells us, you know, the beginning of our spiritual experience is like, you know, just a shift in our thinking, a transformation of letting go of old ideas. And the thing is that I was letting go of old ideas. I was beginning to get into the routine. And I want to honestly say that without hesitation, I was so scared of getting drunk by the time I got to Alcoholics Anonymous and got sober that I would say that I never skipped the morning or the evening until I was at least 8 years sober. I mean, it was like, I mean, because I was just so afraid, like I'm going to get struck drunk. And so, you know, I did some of it out of fear, some of it out of habit, but it was a ritual and it began to transform me. But what I noticed is when that 12-step call came over to my house is that when they started talking about their drinking, I actually answered them honestly. And it was like so I'm going to say that was the beginning of my spiritual experience, is that before that, if anybody said anything to me about their drinking and comparing it to maybe you have a drinking problem, that kind of thing, that I would lie. I would just flat out lie. I would leave it out. I mean, it didn't make any difference. I mean, I wasn't going to tell anybody about my drinking. Nobody talks about themselves that way. What's wrong with you? You know, so the fact that they're sitting around sharing about themselves, the fact that I began to share about myself with honesty was the beginning of my spiritual experience. And, you know, I love the seven questions. And I'm particularly fond, my favorite out of the seven questions that we ask ourselves at night is that what could we have done better? Because there's always something in my day that I could have done better. And if I don't, for some reason or other, start to inventory, and I call it like, I mean, a lot of times that's 6 and 7, it could be 8 and 9, but it's definitely 5 through 9 in there. You know, when I'm going, well, what could I have done better? And sometimes it's something that I can take to my sponsor. Sometimes it's something that I can pray about and get clarity. But for me, the biggest thing is that it gives me some sort of thought or direction and some sort of closing of the day. And that when I do it written, here's the key. This is my tell, is I might always do it, but I might not always write it down. But when I write it down, I can lay my head on the pillow and I can go to sleep and I can go, okay, we're going to talk about that again tomorrow. So I've been able to turn down the volume in my head. Anyway, thanks for letting me.
Thanks.
All right. Reading 2 is on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motive. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought or decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised that the right answers will come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes working part of the mind. Being still and experienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it.
All right, Ed Alcoholic. So this is the morning ritual, the morning meditation, to ask God for help. And when this is practiced, it says we relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. And when I'm finished with my prayer, I'm the most spiritual person in the world for the first 15 minutes. And sometime I'm going to say 5 minutes, you know, since this is an honest program. But as long as I am taking this action in the morning, life seems to be easier. Since I've came in the program, I haven't struggled with the drink problem. I've struggled with other issues. And when I read all this, I was thinking about the first time that I used prayer other than program stuff. And I'm going to tell a little story here. I'll be quick. So I was probably 5 months sober. I was pretty nice. I may have been in my fourth and fifth step, right in there somewhere. But I coached Little League Baseball, and my son, he was 9 at the time. And I was the pitching. I would pitch batting practice in the cage for all the kids. And he came in to the cage, and he has a little bit of an attitude problem. So he wouldn't get set. And I said, Eddie, you got to get set, you know. And some of you might know my son. I said, Eddie, you got to get set. He goes, Dad, I'm getting set. So I reached back and tried to throw the ball as hard as I could past him to prove that he wasn't set. Well, I hit him right on the elbow. And the next thing I know, we're on our way to the emergency room because I think I broke his arm. Now, I'm in the program. I couldn't get a hold of my spine. I'm like, you know, oh, God, you know. And so we get to the emergency room. I'm with my wife. They take him back. And I says, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm very disturbed. And, I went in the bathroom and I shut the door. And for the first time, it wasn't part of a step. It wasn't my morning ritual. It was, God, what have I done? I mean, why, you know, and I got immediate relief. And now I can do that. Now I knew because I got relief. And then I was able to talk to my sponsor, and then I was able to make an amends to a 9-year-old. And I'm going to finish the story by telling you, he's never not got set again. Okay, he's always gets set. So I'm not going to say it worked, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. But so, you know, these are things that come up in life, you know, and I find myself, you know, using prayer in that way. If I pass an accident, I'll say a little prayer that everyone's okay. I don't know how it turns out, but I know I feel better, you know. For me, you know, it says we're not going to be inspired at all times, and that's true. You know, I've been through some rough things as of late. I lost my sister to cancer over the last year. My mom's battling this disease along with some other stuff, and life gets hard, you know. And I don't have the answers, but there is one that does, you know. And it's just to get, you know, I don't, it's just to get relief for me, you know. You know, when David, I was talking to David when Amy asked me to speak here, you know, I said, what do I have to give as far as for prayer and meditation? You know, I just do it, you know, and I don't know if I do it right. But I know I do it. And it's one of those actions. And as far as the meditation, we'll get into that later, but, that's all I got.
Thanks. Lynn again. And, you know, I'm a little bit of a give you a little bit of disclosure. I'm a little bit of a big book nerd. And, I really literally always use the phrase, be divorced from self-pity, self and dishonest and self-seeking motives every day. I love it so much because my sponsor explained to me the reason we divorce. The reason for divorce is to give up something you love. And I'm going, so you're trying to tell me I love self-pity, dishonest and self-seeking motives. And that is the truth. So this is just a leveler. This is what I wake up with. I wake up with my untreated alcoholism. I wake up every single day. I'm still an alcoholic. And I need help giving this crap up because I'm just, I'm going to get into trouble. I'm just, you know, I'm going to get into trouble. And, you know, I get in there and I start to plan out my day. One of the things that my sponsor taught me pretty early on is she said, when you're thinking about your day, she said, send love, send God's will into whatever situation you're going to get into that's going to be testing you. And I constantly do that, you know, for some reason or other, I got this thing where, you know, it just started. I was going to say it and my eye twitched, you know, my sister-in-law makes my eye twitch. So, you know, anytime I'm going to see her, you know, I'm saying God's love, God's will to that situation, because those are going to be the things that I'm going to be misbehave. I'm going to behave badly. It's just my nature. I'm going to be very self-righteous. I'm going to be very judgmental and very opinionated. I don't know if anybody else struggles with any of those things. And, you know, it gets me into trouble. Like, she can look at me and know that I'm thinking that. Like, I'm just in there. Like, how does she know? I know that she knows. But one of the other things that my sponsor had pointed out to me, she says, you know, sometimes when you know that you're going into a situation that may be difficult, is, you know, take pen to paper, you know, and pen to paper works at night. It also works in the morning, and take pen to paper and just start writing. And sometimes you're surprised at what comes out. And I'm just going to share. I mean, this is like something personal that I've only shared with a couple of people yet. So I'm just going to come here and blurt it all out to you guys. But, you know, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was very, very damaged. I had years of abuse growing up in my family. And I was just damaged. And through going through the steps many times, like not just once or twice, but going through the steps many times, I realized, I go, you know, this part of me is always going to be damaged and I'm okay with that. God's doing a really good job. I'm getting better. You know, that's all we can hope for is a little bit of progress. You know, I'm cool. So what's happened in my life is that all of my brothers have, and my mother has developed Alzheimer's dementia, and I am her primary caregiver. And we have gotten closer and closer and closer. One of the most amazing things about dementia is there's no level of dishonesty. So we have this beautiful, honest relationship with each other. There's no pretense about anything. It is what you, I mean, you get to a certain point in your dementia, you just can't lie about anything. You can't be deceptive. And we have this really, really beautiful, loving relationship. I tell her, I go, Mom, I love you with my whole heart. And it's more than my heart can hold. And, you know, we just say these precious things about each other, to each other. And I've never had that type of relationship with anybody in my family. And I have it with my mother. And the reason I started talking so mushy to my mom is I'm going to let you is that one day I realized I was pulling a tone of voice with her. I was getting a little frustrated with the fact that she couldn't remember anything. And I noticed that that my tone of voice was nasty, like not the type of daughter that I wanted to be. And that showed up in my inventory. And then in my morning meditation the next day, as I said, you know, I want to be the daughter that God wants me to be. And what happened is that it was revealed to me that I needed to speak as kindly to my mother as I spoke to my sponsorees. And that's a pretty horrible thing to recognize about yourself, that you can't be as nice to your family members as you are to your sponsorees. But I just have, I love alcoholics. I love sponsoring, and I love the women that I sponsor. And I have this really kind and loving voice, and I say all these sweet and mushy things to them. And that's what turned the corner for me and my mom and our relationship. Well, in my writing about it the other day, because I've made a decision that her disease has progressed to the point that I want her home with me now, that I can, you know, because she's so vulnerable, because she can't articulate what she wants and what she needs. So she's very, very vulnerable. I want her at home with me. I want to hire people to help. And so I've made this decision, but it's going to be very disruptive to my life. And there's a selfish, self-centered part of me that doesn't want to do it. But I know that it's the right thing for my mother. And as I was writing this and I was writing it out, and I was thinking, this is a really heavy price to pay. And then what happened is I had this moment of clarity. Now, God's never come down and spoke to me, but this was an inner voice. And it said to me, it said, yeah, but you're not damaged. And I realized that this, you know, it's like you think that you're not doing anything. You think you're progressing. You think you're doing certain things. I got extra credit from God today or whatever. And then all of a sudden, one day you realize, you know. And I thought about it and I prayed about it and I discussed it with my sponsor. And my sponsor told me, she's been my sponsor now for the last 20 years. And she told me, she said, you know what? I can hear it in your voice. You're not damaged anymore. And it's just such a beautiful thing. We get these gifts. But the thing is that this is where my part was. This is where my test is every single day with these steps, is that if I don't notice it, then I can't give credit to God. If I'm not taking the inventory, I can't give credit to God. Anyway, thanks for sharing.
Reading 3. I already read that, didn't I? We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer. Mm-hmm. Did I read that?
No.
Thank you, David. Reading 3, page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we've shown all through the day what our next step is to be. That we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
All right. Thanks. So next to this little reading, I wrote the importance of praying for others. And that was instilled in me, you know, early throughout working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, you know, we do a lot. We have a lot of set prayers here in Alcoholics Anonymous. We got the third step prayer. We have the seventh step prayer. We have the 11th step prayer, the St. Francis prayer, you know, and now there's a big book app that has a prayer for every step. If anyone has that app, and nowhere in there is it praying. Are you praying for your own needs? I relate this to when I was doing my ninth step. You know, I made that list, and me and my sponsor went through every person on that list, and I didn't make a physical face to face amends to all those people, but I prayed for a lot of those people, whether I wanted to or not, and you know, whether the damage they did to me or whatever, and it's amazing how my heart softened for those people, you know, and I think that's what we're talking about here. And you know, it says we conclude the period of meditation with prayer that we be shown all through today. What are next steps? You know, so sometimes my meditation is on the ride to work. It's I don't play the radio on the way to work. I don't play the radio anytime. I'm either on my phone or I'm sitting in silence, and I'll do, you know, I'll meditate about some things going on in my life. And I heard it said in a lot of meetings that prayer is talking to God, and the meditation time is listening listening, period. It may not be the answer. And for me, a lot of time it's not I don't receive the answer right away or at all. But I know that time is important, you know, and I know the importance of praying for others. And Lynn, you shared some stuff about your brothers and everything. And I don't know if you remember, but I called you when I was going through that stuff with my sister, you know, because you had some experience in that, and it helped me immensely, you know, with how to handle, you know, a dying sibling with a little bit of grace, and they're dying not only from cancer, but from the disease of alcoholism. You know, when you're dying of cancer and you also have untreated alcoholism, that's a tough road. And Lynn was able to help me to work through some of that stuff, you know, and it's through, you know, it's just taking the action of asking God, you know, what can I do? You know, how can I be helpful? You know, relieve my sister of the pain she's in, or whatever, whatever it may be. And things, it seemed they just worked out, you know, she passed peacefully. I don't know, just prayer for me today is like not drinking. I mean, like I said, I pray at least twice a day, you know, at least. And if I go to a meeting, that's four times a day. And there's many times I pause during the day. So anyway, but it's very important for me anyway, is not to pray for my own selfish needs. Thanks.
Thank you. I just, you know, I love what we read. I love what Ed just shared too, you know, in praying, and when we're praying for others, I'm just giving up all my meditation secrets. I have a top 10 list. I call it the top 10. And it varies sometimes. You know, my mom's always up there right now with her dementia. But then there's other people that make it in and out of the top 10. But, you know, in order to calm my head down is, I will say, because it's very difficult to sit there and not think, to make my head blank. So the way that I can get into that is through saying, I get a lot of comfort out of saying that third step prayer, and I'll say it with somebody else's name in it. And I turn them and I go through my top 10, and then it starts to quiet down. It's almost like I start breathing then, you know, because it's such a ritual and it's such a habit for me. I do vary it here and there, about, you know, what I'm praying for as far as, but I get a great deal of comfort. Third step prayer really does it for me. I get a lot of comfort out of that, but, a lot of times I'm, because I'm so selfish and self-centered, is that I think I go, oh, okay. So now, you know, I just think how it's all, it's going to benefit me when this person gets better, or when, you know, I mean, I play it all out. You know, it's very hard to turn off this head. And, you know, I've heard of people say that they meditate for a whole hour, or you should meditate for 10% of your waking hours, or, you know, I don't know how people can, you know, I mean, I know that people can do that. People can accomplish that. I'm doing good for 10 or 15, you know, and that's about, and then after that, then I just start thinking about myself again. You know, and you know, I mean, sometimes it can be very altruistic thoughts about myself, but it's still all about benefiting me. And you know, it took me a very, very long time to be able to accurately identify that selfishness, how that just eases into my head. Like I thought for the longest time. Now I learned a lot, you know, losing all three of my brothers and everything. I thought that the idea of going to funerals was that you were supposed to go to a funeral to show everybody how you felt. Thing to do with the actual person. And I was just like, I don't know why I thought that. And obviously you guys don't think it's funny either. So nobody else did it. But the thing is that I really thought that this was where we were supposed to go and display what our feelings were. One of the most beautiful things that happened, and I'm so glad that Ed had shared about his sister, because one of the most beautiful things that happened with my brother is that in meditation, I got like the signal is that I thought to myself, I thought, you know what, I'm doing my brother wrong. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing my brother wrong, because my brother was drinking on top of chemo. You can't do that. You just can't do that. And he was drinking a lot of vodka. He'd switch it up, you know, after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he'd switch it up to bourbon, but he was consuming a lot and still taking his chemo. And so I had a discussion with my sponsor about it. And what she told me to do was just by nature goes against my very grain, but it goes in line with what we do in the process of meditating. And she just told me, she said, go over there and just sit with him and listen. And I go, yeah, but he's drunk. She goes, listen, you know, just do that. And so I would block off. I would say, well, a minimum of 4 hours, I'm going to go over there. I started knitting and I brought my knitting with me, and I would just sit there and just look. And I go, am I supposed to be talking and making more amends and everything? She said, just be there for him. And we got so close during that period of time. I knew he was dying, but I kept hoping that something was going to happen that was going to change it. But the thing is that I never, ever, and this is God. God got in my heart and just said, Lynn, don't give up on him. Doesn't matter what he does. Just don't give up on him. Mm-hmm. And so I just continued to pray for him. And I continued to pray for him, you know, every single day. And every time I would go over there, I would visit with him. And what happened is that he began like telling me all these stories and talking about all this stuff that we did when we were kids. And it was just, it was a really, really beautiful way to get to know my brother again. And, you know, he died on a Saturday. On Friday night, he went to the hospital, he went to Maryview, and he went over there and he said, you know, I want to go off hospice. And, I want to start back on chemo on Monday. I'm going to stop drinking. And he got them to prescribe him something so they wouldn't go into DTs, and he went home and he was sober for his last 30 hours. And I just think it's so beautiful that he got to die sober. I know that he wanted more than that, but he got up, he went to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and then he never came out of the bathroom. And, but he had 30 hours of sobriety when he died. It's really beautiful. Thanks for letting me.
Readings 4 and 5, I'm going to combine together and you guys can kick it off for another 5 or 10 minutes or each. 5, 7 minutes, but each. Reading four. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select to memorize a few set prayers, which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's rabbi, minister, or priest. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. Page 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "That will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, or worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily. We are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. We alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith that works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12.
Ed alcoholic.
Yeah,
there's a lot in there. You know, when I saw this and, you know, thy will be done, you know, when I got that list, I talked about earlier from my sponsor, you know, it mentions religious in here, and he put on that list of things to call him at this time and pray in the morning and all this, and just for today card, and also a gratitude list. 10 things I'm grateful for. I do that every night. And that helps me with my prayer life too, because I don't go into, you know, I can go in with a little grateful heart when I'm talking to God. But anyway, on that sheet, he wrote this out in his handwriting, and it says, "Thy will, not mine, be done." He gives me this, right? And I'm thinking, oh God, I got one of those religious sponsors. There's no way I'm going to get through this, you know? But I did. And, you know, it talks about here, if we belong to a religious denomination, and I'm an active member at my church now, for the last probably 9 or 10 years. And I use some, prayer books. It's just a men's prayer book on helping me get started in the morning. And I'm not consistent with it all the time, but I do use it, in different seasons. And you know, the last thing you read, we alcoholics are undisciplined. I wrote understatement, you know, and it just is. And I tried to share, you know, as honestly as I can, you know, that my prayer life, it goes through ebbs and flows. And, you know, when things are going well, man, my prayer life's usually very good. And when things aren't, you know, I'm up in here with, you know, because this is, and Lynn's done a nice job of sharing about it, is this is directly responsible to that 10th step. And us undisciplined alcoholics, you know, and I'll call it lazy alcoholics sometime. You know, I don't want to do the work. I don't want to do the writing, you know. I'll 10 step stuff in my head and it'll fester. And then that prayer from what I could take care of in 10 minutes, that prayer might take 30 minutes, you know, after a 30 minute conversation with my sponsor. Right. So, I mean, this is just how it works for me. I'm going to close on what I know about prayer is that it works, and it's more important about the action than the actual prayer. You're saying, I'll be honest, I don't have all this prayers memorized. I don't, that's just not who I am. But I pray every day. And like I shared, and when I am disturbed, you know, I can say a prayer and get calm immediately, you know. I know we don't have much time, but the other, about a month or so ago, leaving my home group, I was hit by a drunk driver. She rear-ended me. Mm-hmm. And I got out of the car, didn't know she was drunk right away. And I get out of the car and she says, "I'm sorry, sir." I was like, "Oh man." So she was hammered. And so I made sure that she couldn't drive. I didn't call the police. I got her off the side of the road. We got a hold of her boyfriend and my wife. We were real close to home. My wife comes and my wife is worried sick. Like, oh my God, what if you start hurting tomorrow? You know, shouldn't we call the cops? And, you know, and I said a little prayer and my wife says, sat in the car and she says this prayer. And I know it wasn't 10 minutes later, but a police officer showed up and he asked me what was going on. And I told him what I did. And he said, that's fine. I'm going to go sit over here until her Uber comes, because she called an Uber and was leaving her car. So she called an Uber. She left her car and the cop comes over and he goes, you know, I never drive by here at night. And he says, I can do a police report if it'll make you feel better. And, I mean, that quick, you know, and I don't think that was an accident, you know, and I did. And the woman called me the next day because we exchanged numbers. She was very apologetic. She thanked me for not calling the cops. He didn't go arrest her. And that stuff happens all the time in Alcoholics Anonymous. If I just take the action of that prayer. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you. I love listening to you. You know, the meditation books that I used in the very beginning are the ones that are just like my mainstay, the ones that I always recommend to people. I'm in addition to being alcoholic, I'm also codependent. And, so I did the language letting go and the courage to heal. I did those. Those are like my favorites, but I love, you know, the daily reflections because it's written by alcoholics. And, I love where it reads, you know, faith without works is dead. And like, you know, I can like get so godly that I can just not even get out there and participate in life, you know, and that's not what we want to be here. You know, we don't want to be, you know, rising above everything and then not going out and participating in life. And, you know, this is like one of my favorite stories about my sponsor. I love her so much. Back in 2016, I ended up with cancer inside my heart and I ended up in the hospital. I was in the hospital for 24 days. And, you know, because the cancer was inside my heart, they had to do open heart surgery. You know, they had to, you know, do the chest opening thing and take your organs out and, you know, do all the things. I mean, it's a major ordeal, you know, and they explained to me, you know, you ought to get your affairs in order because, you know, this is something dangerous and you could possibly not make it. And, you know, my sponsor flew in and she wanted to be with me. And because it was snowing that year, she couldn't get in till like the night before. So we hadn't been able to spend a lot of time together. And whereas I'd been able to party with everybody else in Norfolk for like 14 days, they were having these big parties in my room every night. You know, AAs are not depressing. They stand around and tell inappropriate jokes all of the time. And it was just that everybody was having fun. They had games going on. They were sending out for pizza. They were doing a jigsaw puzzle. I mean, it was not, we're not a glum lot. And, but anyway, so I thought, I'm bringing in the big guns. My sponsor's coming in. We're going to like pray all night long. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I don't know what I had in my head, but that's kind of what I thought, because she's a spiritual giant as far as I'm concerned. And, she just looked at me and she goes, I go, well, we're going to start praying now. What are we going to do? Everybody's gone. We're in our pajamas. She's staying with me in my room. And she goes, well, I mean, we can pray if you want to. I mean, haven't you been praying for the last 14 days? No. And I go, oh, yeah, I've been asking everybody to pray for me and everything. She goes, well, you know, whatever's going to happen tomorrow is going to happen. I mean, we've given it to God. And, you know, she believes really strongly in this prayer line that we've used. I'll give it to anybody who wants it, but it's Unity prayer line that we use a lot. And she'd already called it in. And she goes, we could talk about the last 20 years and how much fun we've had. And that's what we did. We both said the third step prayer. And then we said, okay, we turned it over to God. Now let's talk about what we've done. And we were talking about all the things that we spent more time laughing than anything else. We talked about some of the rough times. We talked about some. But the thing is that faith without works is dead. If I'm not putting these plans into action, you know, I mean, I can sit around, I can get spiritual all day and rise above everything, but not participating in life is not an option. And, you know, the thing is we got about an hour and a half sleep left that night. But I'm just here to tell you, I'm here. So it worked. Whatever happened, it was God's will that I make it through. And that, you know, and the thing is that, you know, I was busy. I was busy the next day sleeping anyway. So, you know, it's not like I needed any sleep. It was just a, you know, it was a good experience. It was how to do things alcoholically. And, you know, alcoholics, I just love how they just embrace everything. For some reason or other, it was this unspoken thing amongst all of my friends that nobody wanted to leave me alone. They never, ever left me alone. So anytime a doctor would come in and start talking to me about stuff, like, when you start hearing them talking about cancer inside your heart, it is kind of scary to listen to. And then your mind just kind of wanders and you can't pay attention to the details. And then I turn around, the doctor leaves, and then I turn around and I go, what did they say? And they go, well, this is what, you know, so you needed that. But, you know, I don't want to be anything else than what I am today. I just find the love in Alcoholics Anonymous and the way that these 12 steps are constructed. And how they make my life so much better. I just find it just so beautiful. And, you know, I just love how it talks about in A Vision for You, and even though that's not where we're reading, but it talks about that the best years of our life are ahead of us. And I just know that to be, I just know it. I'm so grateful to be an alcoholic in recovery today.
Thank you, boy. We're going to pass the seventh tradition baskets in accordance with the seventh tradition.
Are you going to do the best?
You can sign up for email or on our website, simpleactions.net. There's a PayPal and Venmo account on there. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only are their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remains self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each group, each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Morgan. I'm an alcoholic. This home group right here in this room, June 5th, is having a speaker. Yes. Pipe it up. There are some beautiful, who kind of reminds you of winter, even though it's warm out, flyers right over there. Please take some of them. This is going to be Buster H. from Suffolk.
All right.
Food at 6, so it's 7. Bring addition.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right. Thank you. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, raise your hands. Home group. Point out the literature over there. It's on the table. If it folds, you can take it home with you for free. Sponsorship questions. Sponsorship is NAA is yours for the asking. We urge you to do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we'll be available after the meeting closes. Please feel free to talk to any of us. Info at simpleactions.net. You can email us there as well. Shy. Remember that smokers, please use the butt can provided. It's about 50 pounds with a bunch of sand in it, so feel free to use it. Outside, stay away from the church, doors, all meeting recording audios. Upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to join the fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Stella's off Colonial Highway by the pizza place. Closing, I've asked Laurel to read the last on page 164.
Yeah. Hi, Laurel. Our movies make you realize, you know, God will come to you and to us
Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and count. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we tread the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. And let's thank our panel one last time. And we'll close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Lynn, you want to take us out? Our Father,
thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Stay.
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 Oh, you're welcome.